Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we have two very special guests.
The dynamic duo.
I know, and we've been having a lot of fun in prepping for this episode. We've been spending like the last 30 minutes just laughing the whole time, but I think that's a good teaser for this episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. So welcome back to the show, Trisha LaChica and Carol Ferguson. Welcome back, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
You're all in trouble.
So for the bulk of our episode, we're hoping to talk about the bonus sermon that we got this past week from Pastor Barry on continuing what heaven is like. And he talked about marriage in heaven. But before that, Trish said she brought something that she wanted to share with us a little bit about something that a sermon from the past. So I have no idea what she's talking about. Lead us, Trish.
Okay, this has nothing to do with the heaven series, but I just I found it fitting because you gave a message, and I just wanted to remind, because it's sometimes when you give a message, you know, you're like, how did that affect people? Mm-hmm. And so I find it encouraging if somebody can tell you, like, in the future, like, hey, this really affected my daily life. And so I just wanted to come on and just share that you told me it was a year ago.
You being Damon.
I'm Damon. Yeah. Damon, a year ago, you did a whole sermon. And then at the end of the sermon, you gave out pieces of paper that said, with the coffee bean, well, I taped a coffee bean on it. I don't think you, or maybe you did.
Did
you? But I think it fell off.
Or glued it on or something.
So then the paper says, thank you, God, for planting your seed of joy in me. May this coffee bean remind me how you made me joyful and want others to be full of joy too. So every day, Mark, I wake up or it's there, my coffee. So Mark is like a scientist and he just does this weird thing every morning, but the coffee is amazing. So it's become a tradition that he will hide my coffee with the message. Mm. Because, like, I've said it so many times, like, I love to laugh. And then...
No, you love to laugh?
No, I don't like to laugh. So then like, if I'm, like, a little grumpy or whatever, he's like, he brings me the paper. And he's like, read it! Or, like, it's just funny because... If he's home, like, I'm awake, he brings me my coffee with the paper, and he just stands there until I read it, and I'm like, get out of my face. And then it was getting, like, I loved it, but annoying at the same time. So then I took this paper. Do you see how beat up this paper is? Mm-hmm. I hid it. And then...
Because you didn't want Mark to show you?
But no, like, then it became a game. So then it became a game. And then, like, one time I put it in his work pants, and he didn't find it until... Oh, no, his work boots, because they go high. And then he was like, I was walking, and then I, like, what is that? And then he found the paper in his boot. Then he started hiding it, and it just became this thing, the explosion of joy that this paper has brought is, like, so serious. And this is the original paper. Then he went to work and made 15 copies of your paper and laminated them. And then I've just been finding them everywhere. Like, I forget. And then all of a sudden I find one of these papers. And it's just so much joy. And sometimes I don't read it because, you know, you become desensitized or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I just put the paper down and I'm like, give me my coffee. But then today, because I was coming here, I was like, this is such a beautiful message. Mm. And literally this paper has brought so much joy. So I just wanted you to know that I know it wasn't about your sermon and we just made it into a game. But seriously, like, it's been, and it's such a good reminder, because who doesn't want joy? So anyways, thank you, Damon.
Thanks, Trish. I don't know where to go from it. But if you want to know which message she's talking about, the message was called The Joy of Coffee and was part of our Fruit of the Spirit series last year. So if you want to go back to our YouTube or back to our, I'm pretty sure it should still be available on our podcast. Mm. on the church website. You could check it out there. It's part of our Fruit of the Spirit series, and it was the joy of coffee, talking about the Fruit of the Spirit characteristic joy.
I think that's a good segue to go into the, what are we talking about today?
No, not yet, because I'm waiting for Trish to tell me how one of my messages impacted
me. About the gold bricks or something?
That's just what I was thinking. I shouldn't have said that. No.
I mean, I could go back in my notes right now and I'll find something powerful.
You just set yourself up, Kyle.
Just because we don't laugh enough, I just had to throw that out.
But that is a good segue, says, will we be married in heaven? And then Pastor Barry saying, the marriage that we have now, we're kind of prepping for when we have what our marriage would be like with God when we're in heaven. So that's like so much fun. That's like so cute. I mean, it's like, and then you're like, well, Dave and I have, we have a really good marriage too. But we don't hide things like that. We have different ways of making us happy.
Whatever it takes.
Well, he's a good fixer-upper.
But I think one of the things that it highlights too, in kind of following up with what you're talking about, Carol, is that, you know, our marriages on earth are supposed to be representative and prepping us for what it looks like in heaven. And so I think sometimes when people think about heaven, they don't think about like having like a fun relationship with the Lord. It's like, oh, we're going to be worshiping. We're going to be doing, you know, we have these stereotypes of what heaven's going to look like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for this one, it's like, no, the Lord has a sense of humor too. He has joy. He's the creator of joy. He's the creator of fun. And so our relationship could be fun with the Lord too. And I think that's an aspect that we might miss out on. If we're not intentional about thinking about it or relating things like this to say, oh, this is what our relationship with the Lord can look like in heaven. And actually, we could experience some of that now.
Yeah,
we don't have to wait till heaven to experience the Lord's humor, joy, fun.
Well, I don't think God would have affected we would have an emotional, spiritual connection, Trish and I, with the Lord, because we're all happy-go-lucky. Everybody knows we're all church, we're happy-go-lucky. We're like, oh, he's laughing and goofing. Anyways, so obviously, God has joy and humor in heaven.
And he talks to me like that because he made us. And I've said it so many times on the podcast that, like, I'm sure I probably make people mad, but I hopefully it opens their eyes. Because when he talks to me, like, he disciplines me.
Yes.
Like, it's not always joy with the Lord because we need discipline. But, you know, there's times where I'm hearing, like, the same tone because he created each one of us. So, literally, it's like, I can crack up with the Lord. Like, it's just, and I feel fully loved when I'm laughing. And so, that's why he will... I don't want to say not everyone. Not everyone has a sense of humor, but like, it's just the way he created us. So he knows the way to get to us.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yesterday in our staff meeting, we were in between topics and then waiting for some people to get out of the bathroom, and then Pastor Barry actually shared something. I won't share the details, but you can go up and ask him. But he had made, let's say, you could describe it as like an unwise choice. Nothing bad, but then he was like, there were some ramifications from it, more physical, like just tiredness and stuff. And then he was sitting with the Lord, he said, yesterday morning, and he actually, because God had kind of told him before, like, just watch about doing a certain thing. And then he was like, oh, I'm so tired. And then God, he said, in his spirit, he heard God chuckling, like just laughing, like, see, I told you, kind of like, but it was so fun. And I was so tired, but it was like, oh, yeah, you're right. And just like kind of made it kind of a fun learning lesson instead of like more serious. So yeah, it was funny to hear him talk about it. So if you're bold enough and confident enough, go ask Pastor Barry what God was laughing about when he was talking to him.
And then Pastor Barry's going to be like, why are so many people coming up to me and asking me about this? Oh, man, I better start listening to the podcast.
Exactly.
Because I need to know. What's going on?
But I think that's the that is the interesting thing in this whole series about heaven, is expanding our mind to explore and just encompass like all of the things that are going to be in heaven, like the things that we think are like, oh, that's just kind of silly. Like, does that belong in heaven? But well, I mean, God gave us sense of humor. God gave us these other things too. Are those bad? But just the full depth and understanding of God and how that's still going to, he's still going to be the same. So then how does that relate when we're up there in that same setting of perfection?
Because well, did we talk about last time I was on my purpose in heaven, how I was going to have a talk show?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Did.
So I mean like.
And everyone's going to be saying, Trisha, Trisha, Trisha.
So, I need to go laugh some more. I'm going to go see Trish
that's
tonight.
That's what I say. We're going to be in heaven laughing. I'll have a stand-up comedy. I'll have a TV show.
Well, actually, it's going to be you and Carol now
yeah.
together.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
No, that's not my that's vision not of heaven.
Sorry, Trish.
No, it's part.
Oh.
It's Laughland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were going to say something that looked like Carol?
No, I was.
Oh. Yeah, she was.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So can we go back to the topic?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Sorry that we're going off topic, Carol.
I think we're going to be having a lot of this today. Hey, can we go back to that other question? We've gone four places since then.
I could go to the harder question.
No, not yet.
The earthly marriage. So Pastor Barry said the earthly marriage is a glimpse of it's a glimpse of what our relationship with God would be up in heaven.
Yeah.
But so the one question I had was, what happens if you have your marriage is rough right now? Mm. I mean, it's not. And so that's not the glimpse I want to have when you're in heaven. I mean, if I'm struggling with my marriage right now, then that doesn't hit me right.
Right.
And I'm not talking about my marriage, but some people could have that kind of thing.
I hope
right?
not, because Dave's sitting behind you.
I'm like, he's right here. Would you like my microphone?
No.
Come on in and tell us the
truth. Hey, good thing he was just reading on his phone, because then he looked up like, what are you guys talking about? So he didn't hear anything you said. It's not recorded, so don't worry about it.
You're all in quotation, my friend's marriage.
Okay, my testimony with David and I's marriage is, it's because of God, because we have such a good marriage, because he opened up our hearts, he opened up our minds to listen and communicate with honesty and love, and so that just made our marriage so much better. I mean, you know, I mean, he's like my best friend. So if I have to be married to God, then I want him to be just like, almost just like David, because that would be like the best.
Mm. There you go. Well, Pastor Barry spoke on it at the end of the message. What? Are we going to fast forward? Like for
no,
this,
but you didn't answer my question.
Because Pastor Barry did.
Go ahead.
Oh, he
well,
did?
No. And then, yeah, at the end of his sermon.
You weren't paying attention just like earlier today.
What? Earlier?
Hold on. Let Trish go. Go ahead, Trish.
I will not do justice, but I just didn't know if you had it on your notes, because what? He spoke. Because if you're single still, like if you've never been married, that's also hard to relate. Or if you are divorced, or you're in a bad marriage.
Oh.
And he talked about that at the end of the message.
I don't think he talked about the... But anyways, yeah, I mean...
Trish, why don't you expand a little bit?
No,
what?
I won't be able to...
Well, I think maybe...
Reword that.
Maybe a thought on it is...
No.
Everything like that's good that you experience in marriage, you can take even further, and it can be even better. And everything that's bad and negative, you can take the opposite, and even the extreme opposite, and that's kind of how you could relate to it. So even if you're not experiencing the good part, and I
don't, you have to work on that now though, because isn't that what they're saying? Pastor Barry's sermon was saying.
But you're saying in the midst of it, like how do you relate to if you're only experiencing negative or it's only experiencing like hopelessness almost in your marriage, then how can you then be thinking about what it's going to be like? So I'm just thinking of it wise. It's like, well, the opposite of what you're experiencing is going to be that much better in the opposite direction.
But how do I get there?
But that's a different question. But I'm just trying to answer the other question of how can you actually comprehend it? It's hard when you're not getting positive examples of, oh, this is so good, but it's going to be even better. But like, this is so bad, but it's going to be completely opposite. So that's a way to kind of wrap your mind around in a negative situation, how it could be, how you could actually comprehend it. But I mean, to your other question, like, how do you, we're all of our relationships, whether it's marriage and whether it's singleness and you have just other relationships, it's family, it's coworkers. Yeah, we're all supposed to be working on making those better. And I think that's the cool part about heaven is all of those things are going to be all of the good we experience in love and in comfort and laughing together in our relationships. All that's going to be magnified even more. But I think that the thing that I have kind of come across the last couple of years in some different readings is to not use that as a reason for like escapism. Well, I'll just wait till heaven. So it's always kind of like this kind of thing, like, oh, yeah, I just got to endure now and I'll get it later. So yeah, like you were saying, we still have to put the effort into like, okay, but how can I make this better? The relationship part is hard because it takes another person they have their own say in it. So you can do your effort to try and make it better. And if they don't reciprocate, then chances of it getting better are going to be slim. But if you can kind of both at least start working on it, and you get to experience a little bit more of kind of what God intends for us in heaven.
And I also feel that, you know, if you're single and you have the desire to marry, right? So you're always having that hole like that you want filled. Mm-hmm. But then also when you aren't married and then you realize, you know, now you're like, my husband isn't fulfilling this.
Yeah, yeah.
So then now you have a hole. So it's like, because you don't know if you don't know. So the single people want to be married, right? And they just haven't found their spouse yet, if that desire is there. Mm-hmm. So then they have this void in them. We'll say, quote unquote, void. And then when you're married, your spouse typically does not 100%, except Dave, fulfill every void.
Way to go, Dave. You.
So then there's still a void. So to just put it out there,
be real,
there's
Trish.
Only one person that can fill that void. So if you're not putting Jesus first and having that full relationship with him, mm-hmm. Like relationship, not religion, then that void is not going to be filled, whether you're single or married. And so if the single person is not in that deep relationship with Christ, then that void is still going to be there. Now, the desire to be wanting to get married will still be there, but it's just this, the void will be filled with Jesus because we were created to have that void that only he can fill. So then if you're in a bad marriage, you need to be extra deep with Jesus because he knows what's mm-hmm. going on in your marriage. And so you need to now focus on Jesus. And like when we were in such a horrible marriage for many years, Mark told, Jesus told Mark, excuse me, because I was a hot mess, but I mean, he was not perfect, but me as a person was such a hot mess and making our life miserable that Jesus was like, you need to love her the way I love my church, sons and daughters. And so Mark did that without telling me, you know, and then it transformed our marriage. So he went, you know, he was going and praying and talking to Jesus because it was such a bad marriage. And the key point was not to fix me. It was just to love on me. And then he just kept giving Mark more insight. She's a hurt person. Like, this is how to love on her. Now, when she's going psychotic, you have to bite your tongue. And, you know, because everybody, when you're fighting in marriage and it's like, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. Like, you need a change. And everyone's pointing fingers when Jesus just told Mark, nope, you're just going to love on her. You're married. Like, we're in a marriage group with Agnes and Henry. And our group now is called We Stuck because.
We Stuck?
We Stuck.
We Stuck. Oh, we stuck. Just the two couples.
Let her explain it. Why? How? And then you can.
Mute her mic real fast? I am blushing right now.
Stuck it out.
I want to join.
No. Like, we're married. I'm sorry. Like, you're stuck. We're together. Gonna figure this out because we stuck. Like, we're not going anywhere. So. You know,
maybe next time choose something like we're Velcro or something.
Or no, don't say it in front of Carol. So then, so
Velcro's
then
not permanent enough, Kyle.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
We're super glue.
But I think so. That's
the void.
Yeah.
And like I said, God disciplines me. So there was a time, like not too long ago, like maybe 5-4 years ago, I just in my mind, like that mental, like, the talk and or the enemy coming in and just telling you lies and then you just believe them. And it's like, Mark's not doing this. Mark's not doing that. Like, I'm not feeling loved. And literally, I mean, it was an audible voice, but it just came to me and it was like, yeah, because you're trying to fill that void. Like, I did go a little distant from Jesus and I wasn't thinking about that. And Jesus was like, you're trying to replace this void with Mark and now you're just pointing it at him when you're distant from me. And I was like, oh, that was so like a slap in the face. That felt good because it was like it was truth, right? So anyways,
that's good. That's the answer I think I was kind of like looking for. It's like, well, where do you go? I mean, if people don't know, well, where do I go? I mean, you know, it may seem simple.
You it's know. Hard. Mark did. Well, Mark yeah, didn't no. enjoy that every oh, no. time. Like, probably wanted to be like, I won't say probably what he wanted to do.
Mark doesn't like being slapped in the face. Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean, I think he does, but
he doesn't like getting Macron.
We're not gonna. Man. Hey, that was off air story time.
Hey, oh, I teed it up for you. No, she didn't go there, but you went a little farther.
No, nope. You can come talk to me at church. I'm not gonna put that. I have not asked Mark. Anyways.
Ask her about Macron.
Getting
Macron. Macaron. Like okay. Like a macaroon. Like a macaroon.
I want a macaroon.
Okay.
So it's not always fun. And I think when there's so much hurt in a marriage that you're constantly wanting the other person to be fixed. And then that's the vicious cycle and the destruction of marriage where, for one, we don't want to put in hard work anymore. We really don't. Like, we want instant, we want it like fixed. Like in our marriage, we don't want hard work anymore. Or
it's somebody else's issue. It's somebody, their fault. And
It's their fault. Like I, you know, maybe I have a little bit of fault, but they have fault. So we don't want to do that. But when you turn to Jesus, he's going to give you instructions on how to fix it. But it's not going to be fun. It's going to be hard work and doing something you don't want to do. Because I'm sure Mark wanted to yell back at me or stomp out of the room. You know what I mean? So
I have a question for Trish. How do you get these the Holy Spirit's talking to you, Jesus, right? So how did you get that? How did you get that Holy Spirit? How did you make that connection that was from Jesus, Holy Spirit, that the words that you were getting from Jesus? How did you get that? Did you like read the Bible? Did you just go to church? Did you just
No, I was distant at the time. I was not reading my Bible because I think.
But how did
he's like, girl, shut up. Stop. Like, I'm telling you, this is how he talks to me. And it's not, I mean, this is how I need to be talked to, right? Because it's like, girl, shut up. You are trying to fill this void with Mark's whatever. And no, it's me. Like, so if it's, if it's like a conviction, it's just a straight heart conviction feeling. Mm-hmm. And especially if it lines up with the Bible. So like that's like, mm-hmm. is this the enemy? Is this just my intrusive thoughts? Right. Is it Jesus? Like, is it biblical? Now, if it's biblical, then it's the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus, God, whoever is sending me that message. If it's not, then I have to like rebuke it, right? So that's how I know, because I knew that truth, that I'm over here unhappy with Mark, but really I'm unhappy because I stopped reading the word, because he's constantly wants relationship. Jesus wants relationship with us. Mm-hmm. He wants that intimate relationship. So if you're starting to distance yourself, he's like, girl, get back here, you know? And he does it in the way that connects with you personally. And I had to acknowledge it. And not a lot of us want to acknowledge when we're wrong. It doesn't feel good. You know, I had to, you know, it's sticking your tail between your legs. And then I'm like, Mark, I'm sorry. I've been very grumpy. I've been blaming you for this. And this is what Jesus told me. And that is not fun to go to your spouse and tell them, like, I'm sorry. And this is what God told me. And I'm going to try to do better, you know?
Okay. So, but I think it's even beyond that, because it's not just your spouse. It's any relationship, correct, right? So you said that word earlier, and really that's the point of this topic of marriage in heaven. It's like, we're going to have this intimate relationship that marriage resembles. So whether you're single or married now, it's any relationship that you have strife in, but then you can work it out and you get to see the fruit of like, oh my gosh, this is so much like, so because of that situation and that depth you went to, Trish, like when that happened, that brought a different level of, oh my gosh, I value my marriage, or I value this relationship that much more, right?
Yes.
And so that that to me is like, that's those glimpses that we're getting now on earth about how much better that relationship and that marriage is going to be in heaven.
Okay.
I think that's what we have to keep focused on. We're going to get these little glimpses, and they might not come as frequent for some relationships as others. And hopefully as we continue to mature, the depth keeps getting deeper and deeper, because that's where it's like, oh my gosh, I thought, let's say for you and Dave, it's like, oh yeah, our marriage is awesome. But maybe in 10 years, you're going to be like, oh yeah, but now we've gotten to an even deeper place, and it's even
awesomer.
Awesomer. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a better word. Thank you. That was good. That just took it right off my tongue.
I don't think that's a word.
But I think that's what kind of what Barry was talking about too, was we're gonna get like there's little spurts, and that's just enough to be like, oh wow, that feels like heaven right now, but it's gonna be so much even more beyond that we can't even wrap our minds around. But I think that gives us of a little desire to like, I want more of that. And I want to do more of that now, because we can affect heaven to come and manifest more in our lives. So I think that's awesome. But not to escape it, but to think of, wow, that's going to be even better in heaven. So not an excuse to be like, I'm just going to wait till heaven, but how can I bring more of that now so I can get even more of a taste and be more excited for what's to come?
I have another question, but this is might be, I don't know.
You should direct it to Damon, because he hasn't talked much.
I know. So Damon, what happens when you're in a gay marriage?
Oh, I'm glad you directed that to Damon.
Okay, so can I talk about the previous one first? Yeah.
Yes.
Since I didn't say anything. I think one of the key words for the previous question is it's a glimpse. It's not, right? So our relationships.
What question?
The question that you asked before. What happens when you're in a difficult marriage? Everybody was so talking that I didn't get a chance to even respond to that question.
No, you gotta be quick with this group. You gotta jump in.
Well, I was trying to get my thoughts together so that I could have a coherent, you know.
Good job.
Yeah.
Something good to say.
Yes.
Right? So I think one of the things for when we're in a difficult marriage is that the relationships that we have on earth are just a glimpse of what it is. It's not the full, we're not going to get the full picture of what relationship in heaven is going to look like while we're on earth. It's just a glimpse, right? And so I think one of the things that we are thinking, right, when we enter into marriage is like, oh, happily ever after, it's going to be happily ever after. And then we actually get there and it's like, oh, this is actually work, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is, there's actually stuff that we have to do to make this mm-hmm. work out. What? Carol's whispering behind to try to find my, okay. So then I think,
don't get distracted, Damon, go.
So I think one of the things that we have to remember is like we can only control what we can control, mm-hmm. right? And so in relationship, there's always another person involved and we can't control them. But the lie that the enemy tries to tell us is you have to try to control them or you have to try to get them to do what you want them to do. But really the only person that we can control is ourself, right? And so kind of like what Trish was talking about earlier in terms of our relationship with the Lord is that our relationship with the Lord affects our relationships with other people too, mm-hmm. right? And so if we think about it in the terms of we can only control what we can control, like in regards to our relationship with the Lord, I can't control what the Lord does. I can control myself. And so a lot of times when I feel distant or that, it's my fault. It's not the Lord's fault, because the Lord throughout the Bible, and this is something that we've seen, he's constantly pursuing us. Even in when we mess up, he's pursuing us, right? And so if our relationship with the Lord isn't going well, a lot of times we have to take a look and say, okay, well, what can I change? Is there something that I can do differently in order for my relationship with the Lord to improve? Because kind of like Trish was talking about earlier too, as my relationship with the Lord improves, it's going to affect my relationships with other people too, right? And so as I get more filled up by the person that can fill me and be fulfilling, then I'm responding to other people from a place of wholeness as opposed to from a place of brokenness, right? And then I'm not feeling like, oh, that person needs a change, that person needs a change, that person needs a change. It's, I've experienced the Lord pursuing me even in my brokenness. I can pursue that person in the midst of their brokenness and love them in the way that the Lord loves me, because I'm receiving that from the Lord, right? And so I think a lot of it is just recognizing that we can only control what we can control. We can't control the other person, but I can control my relationship with the Lord because he's always pursuing me. So all I need to do is respond and receive from him, and then I can give that to other people and experience that for other people too.
You know, personally, it's amazing because we don't want to do the work. Like I keep going back to Mark being told by the Holy Spirit or whatever that he just needs to love on me. But it's crazy that when you actually step into what God has told you to do, you are 10 times more blessed, mm-hmm. because his experience is he got a taste. I mean, he's a human, so how hard it is to love someone like mm-hmm. Jesus loves, right? Mm-hmm. So then he in turn is like, wow, like mm-hmm. how Jesus loves us. So he got to experience that. One time Jesus told me to go apologize to someone that I didn't even know what I did. And I kept saying no. And he was like, yes. And I was like, no, yes, no. And this other person was a Christian too. And I did it. And I was 10 times blessed. The person didn't even forgive me.
She did not or did?
Did not. No, but it was like I was 10 times blessed by doing what Jesus told me to do. So I just wanted to throw that out there for anyone that Jesus is telling you to make amends, or, you know, you're not in a relationship, friends, marriage, brother, sister, like that is kind of bad right now. That if you step into what the Lord is telling you specifically to do with that relationship, you will be rewarded heavily.
I think a lot of this ties in with the emotionally healthy material that we've gone through in classes. And you have to look at your own stuff. It's easy to look at the other person. Oh, it's their fault. They're doing this. But then when you look below the surface and you look inward, like, oh, why is this even bothering me? Or what's my role in this? And then, like, for you, I can see that, like, if you're carrying bitterness and you're carrying resentment because of that hanging over you, and God says, no, I don't want you to carry that. This is about you. Like, I want that to be released from you, regardless if they forgive you or not.
Yeah.
It's like, and then you got blessed because I don't have to carry that anymore.
Yeah.
And I was able to release it. But you had to deal with yourself. It wasn't about them having to come.
And he never, like, it was like, you have to go apologize.
Right.
Like, there was no other, and then this is going to happen. Like, I didn't get any feelings, nothing. Right, was just, like, the command was, you need to go apologize. And then I was like, no, I don't even know what I did. Like, what could I have done? And then it was like, you need to go apologize. And literally, but in my thinking, I was like, oh, then we'll come back together, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I got attitude back and still don't know what I did, I was like, what just happened? It was like a shock at first because my own thinking was, oh, I'll find out what I did to offend someone and we'll come back together. Mm-hmm. And then when it didn't happen that way, I was truly shocked probably for the whole day. And then the Holy Spirit washed over me again and was like, no, you did your part. And I was at peace.
But I think that's where you get to experience part of heaven.
Yes. Right?
Because it's not, you're not carrying things that you're not carrying things you weren't supposed to carry. And in heaven, that's the thing. We're not carrying the baggage, the load, the thoughts that are out of alignment with.
But if you didn't know you offended someone, how did you know?
How did I know?
God told her.
Well, no. I mean, it's funny how the trickle effect of it was, I mean, I won't go too far down the line, but then somebody said something to me and then I was like, you know what? Like, oh. And then I started thinking about all these scenarios and I'm like, she's been avoiding me. And then I looked on social media because I don't know, like, algorithms and stuff. Like, I don't see a lot of people on social media because they see who you like and follow. So then sometimes I don't even see people's posts or anything. So then I thought, oh, I haven't seen that person's post. So I went on and then we were no longer friends. And then I was like, it all clicked. Like, she unfriended me. And then I was like, oh, this is real then. Mm. And so then I just went and said, I'm sorry. And honestly, I don't know what I did to break our friendship. And then she was like, you don't know? And I was like, no, I promise I don't. But God, I'm here. God's telling me to apologize. And I'm so sorry. And then she's like, we'll talk about this later. And it's been like 5 years.
Oh, well, kudos for you listening to the Lord.
I'm telling you, I say that because I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why. Kudos for you.
My is like, I just want to fight. I'm like a fighter. So then I'm like, But no, I went humbly before her. And it was the Holy Spirit totally took over. And I am 10 times blessed by that.
And I think that's that highlights something else, too, is that kind of highlights a little bit of Pastor Barry's mini habits class, is that in our society, one of the things that I think the enemies try to do is try to weaken our will, keep us childlike, right? So that we can't make some of those choices to do things that we might not necessarily want to do.
Difficult things.
Right? Yeah. So
childlike.
So I'll give you an example. So like when one of my kids wants something like candy, right? Emotionally, they're like, I want the candy. I want the candy. I want the candy, right? And so we might think that they're strong-willed because they keep hounding me until I'm like, oh, forget it. Just eat the candy, right? So I used to think that kid is strong-willed because they are going to keep on it until they get what they want. But I think one of the things that the Lord has been highlighting to me is actually that's actually a weak will, but strong emotions. So they are responding from a place of this strong emotions, but their will is so weak that they can't choose to be okay with me saying no. Mm. Right. And so even if I know, like, if they eat so much candy, okay, they might get diabetes. They might if you go to the nth degree on anything, right, you don't, it can end up being bad. Right. So as their dad, I have to be aware of some of those things. You know, whether it's screen time or candy or things like that. So there's going to be times where they have to hear no, right? And that's creating a boundary, right? But in their emotions, they're like, but I really want that. I want that. I want that. And if I don't help them to develop their will to be able to choose to say no to certain things, then that's not helping them, right? So and that's where addictions come from, right? Is like when we are so emotionally tied to something that it's like, I need that to survive. And if my will is so weak that I can't choose the opposite, then that's when I become addicted to something.
Yeah, but it tastes so good or it makes us feel good. What's wrong with that?
That's true. But then sometimes when you take it to the extreme, it ends up being not good.
Right.
Right.
Oh,
and so we need to
moderation.
We need to develop our will to be able to say no, or to be able to say yes to something that we don't want to do. Right. So like in Trisha's case, she had to say yes to the Lord when he said, go apologize. It's like, I don't want to, I really don't want to do that. That makes me feel bad. That makes me feel ashamed. That makes me like, right. Like that doesn't feel good. Mm-mm. But if the Lord is asking us to do it, we have to be able to make that choice to say, yes, I'll do it, even though it doesn't feel good. But the enemy wants us to be weak-willed so that we don't make those choices and we just go with our emotions. Like, oh, this feels good. Well, it's like, what happens when, you know, kind of the slippery slope idea of, well, it feels good now, and then go a little bit farther, and then eventually you're doing something that you were like, I never thought I would be doing this. Yep. But it's because you were never able to say no or to stop anywhere down the line because your emotions kicked in and we weren't able to choose the opposite. So I think that's one of the things that like Pastor Barry's mini habits class will help us to do is to help to strengthen our will so that we can make some of those choices. Like if I don't want to do my quiet time, well, am I going to just go with my emotions? I don't really feel, well, what happens when that one day of feeling that way turns into two, turns into three, turns into a week, turns into a month. And it's like, okay, I haven't spent time with the Lord in a month, in a year, in 2 years, you know, and then it just keeps going. So there needs to come to a point where we strengthen our will so that we can make some of those choices.
I think it's highlighting the difference between instant gratification and delayed. Because I'm not, like the candy thing, it's like you said, Carol, it's not bad, but sometimes it's not the right moment for it. So because you just had four pieces. So it's like, okay, you can you can still have more, but wait until tomorrow and then you can have more, or wait until, you know, but if you just keep giving in and giving in, then you're wanting that quick fix. And
now that's our society. My 600 pound life.
Yeah, it could be.
Like, you know, no,
all it's right,
like,
taking it to the extreme, you know, Trish.
I mean, because you think it's like, cause I see that and it's like, it happens really fast. Mm-hmm. It's a slippery slope. So like, that's where we need to be the emotionally healthy, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a love-hate relationship with that class because, you know, I learned a lot about myself and how childlike I am. Yeah. And it's such a great class. But, yeah, we all need that class.
So is anybody going to ask my question about the
I was giving Damon time to process while we were having these other side discussions. So now Damon's ready, I can tell.
Oh. Okay, so I think that's where we have to talk about what our definition of marriage is.
Yeah.
And where does our definition of marriage come from?
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Right? So if we're looking at it from a biblical lens, then the picture of marriage that we get is from pre-sin, right? So it's Adam and Eve in the garden, right? So a man and a woman, two becoming one flesh, right? And so... So for us in our context, that's the way that I feel like for myself, that's how I would define what marriage is. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about gay marriage, in my perspective, I gotta preface it from my perspective, trying to look at it through a biblical worldview, trying to look at it through a biblical lens, then that doesn't fit into the definition of what marriage is. So our cultural context, our society might consider that marriage, but from a biblical perspective, I don't believe that consists of like what actually the definition of what a marriage actually is.
Then we're going to get in the slippery slope that if I'm gay and I'm a Christian, then what happens?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to approach that topic.
Okay.
But I mean, so if we want to just kind of take a glimpse of that, or not a glimpse, we've been talking about glimpses a lot. If we want to take a little, just kind of
sliver
into that, it's like there are certain patterns of sin that have footholds on everyone, right? So it could be same-sex attraction. It could be pornography. It could be
alcohol, food.
Anger.
Jealousy.
There's so many different sins that have footholds on people. Right. And so when we say that, you know, same sex attraction, it could be, what are we actually doing with that? Are we actively engaging in that? Are we actively pursuing that? Or are we recognizing, okay, this is a pattern of sin that has a foothold in me, and I'm going to try to stay in alignment with the Holy Spirit and not pursue that and stay abstinent, or, you know, like that. And maybe God's calling on my life is for me to be single. Yeah. Right. And so there are different ways to approach that. But from my perspective, trying to view the world through a biblical lens is that God designed marriage to be a man and a woman, forsaking all others, yep, to come together in union together.
Yep. Amen.
Okay. But then, do they still
keep going?
Do they still go to heaven? I mean, as a person. I mean, if you believe, you're still going to go to heaven if you believe. If you're a believer, if you believe in Jesus Christ. Well, okay, so you're saying if I believe in Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be in a gay marriage. Because that would be doctrinally incorrect. Oh, crickets.
The narrow road.
Well, trying to navigate this well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right, because this can be a very controversial subject.
Yeah, and I know.
There's going to be different people that are really good believers on one side of the issue. There's going to be strong believers on. So I think, okay, so kind of from my perspective a little bit too, I think that's one thing I appreciate about my experience going to Biola is that there were quite a few different professors that I had that would give us books to read that were different perspectives on different topics. Not necessarily this topic, but, you know, this like three views on creation, three views on salvation, three views on, you know, so just to give a perspective. And they would say, you know, there's a lot of strong believers that look at it this way. There's a lot of strong believers that look at it this way. There's a lot of strong believers that look at it at this way. So I think that's one thing that I appreciated about that is that it really made us wrestle with it and trying to wrestle with, okay, how is this trying to stay faithful to the biblical text, to the biblical tradition, to how are these different viewpoints, and are these are these I don't know better language right now than, is this like a minor thing or a major thing, right? And so some of them is like, okay, well, if the Bible or if creation was literally in 7 days versus, you know, a day represented X amount of years, and it's just kind of figurative language, does that really affect the, you know, my salvation in terms of Jesus came and died for me? That, not really. So I can have differing perspective on creation and not be salvation dependent, or it doesn't change my salvation, right?
Oh, and so, okay.
And so I think there's going to be different viewpoints on that particular subject, especially in light of different circumstances, like, is this person actively pursuing it? Is this person did they go into this relationship and now the Holy Spirit has changed their heart and they're like, okay, this was not right, but I don't know what to do now because, you know, we thought it was a marriage and now it, you know, and the connections that we've made and things like that. The Holy Spirit's changed my heart, but I don't know what to, you know, like, yeah,
there's a lot of variables
that go into that one.
Yeah, because I think it is a sinful lifestyle. And so, again, disclaimer, this is my words. So if you're living in any type of sinful lifestyle, like you mentioned, pornography, gay marriage, that God is so big, and if you're living in any type of sinful lifestyle, he's going to pursue you because he pursued us before we even knew him, before we were accepted Christ, like, right? So he's pursuing us in our sinful nature already because he wants us with him. So now if you're just disobeying, well, that's between you and God. Like, I can't say when you're standing before God, because he says what? Depart, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. Because you're being disobedient. This is my, I know a lot of people disagree, but this is just the way I believe that you really were not a Christian because you just kept disobeying. You live that lifestyle and then you're going to stand before him before judgment. And what is he going to say to you personally? I mean, because there's so many, I mean, I won't even go into different topics of when you're standing before Christ and you have to listen to everything that he's laying out before you. Now that's going to be his decision. You're going here or you're going here?
No, I think it's on that day. We talked about this a little bit in the Awe of God series too, that there's going to be people in heaven that are going to be like, what, you're here? Yeah. And there's going to be people like, we're so-and-so. I thought,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I don't know that we can't make that judgment here on earth. Like, oh yeah, they're definitely not going to be there. Yeah. Or, oh yeah, they're definitely there. Because there's a lot that goes on the inside that mm-hmm. we don't know, yeah. right? That goes between the Lord and the person. But to me, it's kind of in the Awe of God series. It's like playing with fire.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. And I wouldn't want people to be flirting with, I just got to barely get in. So any kind of sin, whatever the sinful choices, we're all dealing with sin until our death. So whatever sins are there, it's like, hey, make sure they're not becoming those like idols where they are leading to just, you're just completely disobeying God and you're ignoring his words and you're just really then turning away from him. Because I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't want to be the one yeah. to say like, oh, no, you're good. And then you're not. Or say, you're not good and put all kinds of weight on you when God's like, no, I already got that person covered. So
yeah.
It's a tough question.
Can I tell you, yeah. Have I talked about what I've told each of my kids when they were young?
Can I tell you? Even if you have told us, you can say it again.
That mom's the best? Is that what you were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am the best. They will disagree.
I don't know. Christian did a pretty good job on Callous Stories. So if you...
Oh, that's all Jesus. I was a horrible mom to that one. So I sat each one of my kids, especially in social media, and now, you know, they're exposed to much more at a younger age. And I just saw what's happening with my friends that have older kids. And turning to the gay lifestyle or saying they're a different gender and like the havoc it went on in that household of a Christian household. Mm. And my own aunt, I mean, her son is like 50 now and he came out gay when he was like 30, you know, and she stopped going to church, my aunt, because she was saying that, you know, they told her that that's a sinful lifestyle and everything. So she personally stopped going to church. So I saw this happen over and over again. Or the parents didn't stop going to church, but then now there's like fighting, you know, between the kid and the parent. So I saw all this happening. So I sat each of my kids down. And then luckily for Nick, I made the two older boys sit down too. Like, we're going to have the talk. Because I needed my kids to know that when they get older and they choose sinful lifestyles, that it's not going to change me. Because I need you to know what's going to happen. So I sat them down and I said, you can do anything. My love will never leave. I will love you. I'm here. You can come through my door. Mama's going to hug you no matter what. Like, God forbid, murder. I mean, we can go down dark, dark ways. My love, you are my child. That's never going to leave. But now there's going to be exceptions for lifestyles that you're going to choose to live. Now, if you come to me and say, Mom, I'm gay, I'm still going to love you. But you try to have a wedding, I won't be there. Like, you need to know what's going to happen. I will not come to your house. You come to me and say, Mom, me and my girlfriend are going to move in together. Well, guess what? That's a sinful lifestyle. I will not be going to your house. You can still come to me, my house, but I won't be partaking in any of the sinful lifestyle, because my biblical beliefs are my biblical beliefs. So I need you to know and respect that, that my love for you is there and my arms are open, but I won't change my views, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you decide that you want to be a drunk. I'm not going to allow you to be constantly drunk in my house. Like, there were so many different scenarios that we went through because I needed them to know that my faith is going to stay my faith. And we don't need a fight, because now you have an understanding before you go down this road. Okay, my mama's, you know, she's deep in her faith. She's not going to agree with this lifestyle, but I know she loves me still, and I'm going to be there for her. I will be there for them. So I had a talk with all three of them, and I laid it all out on the line so they know what to expect, because I'm not leaving the church, and now you know what is a sinful lifestyle. So that's going to be your choice. And you know what's going to happen if it's, you know, you live with your girlfriend and then you're trying to make it right and then you want to get married. I'm all for that. Let's make it right, because you can change your ways, you know? So.
Yeah, I think that kind of highlights some of the things that we talked about in the Awe of God series, like the difference between God loving you versus God's approving of you or being pleased with you.
Mm-hmm. It's your actions.
Right? And so it's like God's love doesn't change towards us. So Trish, that's a cool example that you give of being intentional about helping your kids to understand how God sees us, right? It's like your love doesn't change, but that doesn't mean you're going to always be pleased with the things that they do.
Correct.
And so that's a good image for them of like, oh, this is how God cares about me. Like, his love doesn't change towards me, but he's not necessarily going to be pleased when I do X, Y, Z. Right. And so I think that's one of the things that we can look at. It's like God's love towards us doesn't change, but his approval of us is going to change. Right. It's dependent on what we do.
We have choices.
We have choices. You know, we still have agency. We still have a free will. So it's not like he's going to force us to do things. And so the question really, I think, in terms of like lifestyles like this or things like that, is like when we talk about heaven, heaven is where God is. Right. And so are we going to, in our life today, choose to move towards God and the trajectory of our life is towards him, or our trajectory of our life is to hide or go away, you know? And so if we know that a lifestyle is not approved, you know, it's not a pleasing lifestyle to the Lord, and we continue to choose that lifestyle and not, you know, like to say like, choosing it, meaning we're not wrestling with it. We're not struggling with it. We're not trying to, you know, move towards God in that way. We're just saying like, no, this is how I am going to, I'm going to choose this. Am I actually choosing to turn my back and walk the other way? And so that's where it's like, okay, when it comes to that time for heaven, God's not going to force us to do something we don't want to do. So if we choose now to say, I want to walk a different way, when it comes time to get to heaven, it's like, he can be like, nope, I'm going to force you to turn towards me now, even though your whole life you chose to turn the other way. Mm-hmm. That's the question that I would be asking myself is like, is that where I want to be when it comes to that time? Like, I chose to turn my back on you this whole time. Well, is he going to say, no, I'm going to force you to turn towards me now? Carol's giving me this weird look on her face.
I get it.
I think it's just trajectory, right? And so if there's a difference between like struggling with certain sins and certain lifestyles versus totally accepting it, right? And totally saying like, I'm just going to do this no matter what.
I think it kind of gets back to the will, right? If you're actually trying to enact your will to be like, I need to resist or I need to make changes and shifts versus it's too much work and I'm just going to go with what feels good or go with my emotions, go with my thoughts, then that's where I think all three need to be balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I work is at a private Christian school, and that's where my youngest Nick goes. And before to work there and to go to school there, you have to sign papers. and you have to agree with their outlines to attend school. And one of the things is awesome on there, like, you can have these feelings of same-sex attraction, but you are signing it saying that you recognize that that is a sinful lifestyle and that you are choosing not to live that way, because you can have that attraction, but you are recognizing that you're not acting on that.
That's for you or for the kids? Both. Oh, cool.
You have to sign that. And there's,
that's good.
There's actually many bullet points, like even pornography is in there. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of stuff that you have to sign that you agree with, mm-hmm. To work there and to go to school there. Mm-hmm. There's more than that, but I really like that, because it's saying that you recognize that this is a sinful lifestyle and that you won't act on it.
All right, Damon, we're getting pretty long. Do we want to tackle that other question that Carol brought up, the deep question that we didn't want to start off with? Or
when you think about
she already started, so.
Becoming joined as one with Christ, how do you feel? Are you excited? Well,
are you excited, Carol?
It's just going to be awesome or awesomer. I mean, it's going to be great. So I don't. I mean, am I excited right now? No, because you know I'm not there yet. But I mean, I'm there, but I'm not at heaven. Yeah. But it is going to be good. So I don't know. You know, I'm not like, oh boy, I'm looking forward to it and I can't wait, because then it's like, well, we get into a different thing, but like, why can't I go there now, kind of thing. But I don't, you know, this is he. So, yeah, but it's all good.
But then too,
it's like Revelations is kind of different for me, but so.
In what way?
So John wrote it, and it was a vision, and it's a lot of symbolism. And although he wrote, you know, Jesus told him to write it, and stuff. So,
where are we going with this, Carol? Where are we going?
You can gather your thoughts on that if you want, but I think it's going to be more awesomer. So I think for me, I can relate it to my spiritual journey with God, that it gets more exciting the farther I get on my journey. In the sense of, I think when I was younger in my faith, there was more guilt or shame that I felt myself coming from God, because I didn't see it the correct way. And I actually projected that stuff that I think the enemy was putting on me. I projected that coming from God. Mm-hmm. And so as I've learned to appreciate how God doesn't operate that way, and that I've been able to deal with those thoughts and feelings better, I actually have more excitement now in my relationship with God. Yeah. But then that also then translates to having an even more excitable spirit for what's going to come in heaven.
So. I think that's the thing for me too. It's like, I want to experience God now, because I have no idea what's going to happen in it. I know it's going to be awesomer, but
more awesomer.
But it's now that I want to experience all of God.
But I think that's what's cool, is the more depth and more experience we get of it now, it's like, that's still only like a glimpse or a sliver, right?
I know,
but it's like, wow.
But it still feels good.
It does. You know, especially when you look backwards and like,
yes.
Oh, 15 years ago, I would have not even come close to feeling
the
way I do
now. Yeah, you were a jerk.
No. Whoa.
No,
wow.
Whoa. No,
Kyle's catching strays now.
Trish said no.
I said
Trish
I rebuke no.
I didn't even know you 15 years ago.
Kyle's catching
joking.
Strays.
I'm just joking.
That wasn't a stray. We're sitting like across from each other. That was like straight on. That wasn't a stray shot.
That's why we're... No, I'm kidding. No, just to have you think about how your life has changed so much.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because of God.
And I think that's kind of to circle back a little bit too, to the relationship topic. It's because as relationships develop, you get more depth in them. And
you mean God's relationship with you?
I'm talking. Don't just jump in general relationships.
No, it's like
relationships in general.
With people?
Yeah. And you get more depth in your relationships. You get more like, oh, this can't get any better. And then it gets better. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is better. And that brings us back to the topic of that. God's desire is to have relationship with us.
Carol's smiling at me because that's how she feels about me. As we've gotten closer, she's like, oh, this can't get any better.
No.
Except with David. David is
I'm struggling with relationships with people. That's why.
You need to take emotional healthy class and work on that.
What? Emotional health? Your class?
No.
Wait, that's Mimo's class. Emotionally healthy relationships.
Yeah, but... she has to have it in the morning. But anyway,
she needs a one-on-one.
Hey, I had a class in the morning and you said you were going to take it.
One-on-one.
Okay, we'll talk about that afterwards. Okay, but Trish and David.
Do you love everyone?
Do I love everyone?
Like God wants us to love thy neighbor? Be honest. See?
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know if I don't hate anyone.
No, I don't hate anyone either, but that's.
I don't go deep with everyone.
But that's my slippery slope.
This is a future topic, I think. Because we can go a whole episode on just talking about
it. So anyways, that's where I'm...
But I was going to ask Trish and Damon to comment on your question about that sense of in heaven about being united with God. Like, how do you feel
about
that?
You need more time, Damon? Okay. So...
He wants to close.
I think I just never thought about it. And we said that in the last podcast. Like, I knew heaven was there, but I never thought about it. So this whole thought process gets me more excited because I think it's going to be more awesomest.
Oh.
And so I love the thought of just thinking about it. Mm. And because it's something I never thought about. So Pastor Barry just keeps bringing up all these thought-provoking things that now, because I am a hothead, I have a temper.
You do?
So when that wants to come out, it's like keeping me more in line because the thought process of like, no, this is not the way we're supposed to be on this earth because we are the light because the enemy has this earth. And that's why it's so dark and there's so much junk in it that no, we need to bring that little sliver of heaven down. And no, I'm not perfect. But it's just the process of getting more in line and thinking about being one with God. Like that is like, I'm liking the thought of it, but
it blows your mind.
My brain, my simple little brain just still can't fully grasp it. And hopefully the more I live, if God willing, I live to be older, then hopefully it's just keeps adding on to knowing. And anyways, that's it.
I think for me, there is an excitement level for, that union with the Lord in heaven. But at the same time, I do feel like when I get to that place, it's in terms of how I feel and that excitement level, it's like the Lord still has stuff for me to do on earth. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I don't want to get so far ahead of myself that it's like, I just want to die right now. Because then I feel like the question will be, well, why didn't you finish these things that I had for you while you were on earth? If, you know, so sometimes, okay, so just you don't need to call anyone or but you know, there have been times in my life where I felt like the enemy has said, why don't you just drive your car into that wall? Or, you know, intrusive thoughts. I'm not saying that I've entertained them very far or anything. Yeah. So don't feel like, oh, we need to pray for David. He's suicidal or anything. That is not the case.
All have our intrusive thoughts.
It's not the case, but right after those thoughts will pop in my head, the next thing will be no, the Lord has me and he wants certain things he has certain things for me to do. And that's why he won't let me entertain those thoughts farther than, mm-hmm. And so there have been guardrails for me that I feel like the Lord has set. And there's been some times where I've had some very near death experiences that have how did I survive that? Mm. But it's okay, the Lord has kept me alive because he has something for me. And right. And so for me, it's like, I am excited about that. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like if I don't do certain, some of the things that the Lord has for me now, then there's going to be something, I wouldn't say like a feeling of great loss, but I feel like the Lord will just be asking me like, hey, I had this for you to do and you didn't do it.
That's why I think it's really cool reading Paul's like wrestling with that topic in some of the his epistles, that he's like, I know I want to go die right now because I want to be in God's presence and it's going to be so great, but I also have things that he wants me to do here. So I'll do it until and do it to my best until he calls me home, but I can't wait till I get home. So he has that kind of like, I want both, but in the meantime, I'm just going to keep doing until God says, nope, now it's your time. But
he's I like it when you compare me to Apostle Paul.
That was good.
Well, Paul would say it like this: to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Right. You have these good messages and you're like Apostle Paul. And,
okay, so I have another
question. Man, I love this episode. Just getting patted on the back
and
left.
Oh my gosh. What about except
when Carol gives me these like dirty looks, like, I don't get what you're talking about right now.
You are not. I have another question though.
We're not gonna be able to go too long.
No, it's not.
I told you, Carl, this is gonna be our first 2-hour episode.
No, it's only been an hour and a couple minutes.
And 10.
Okay, so what Pastor Barry said 24 minutes. No.
She even has timestamps on her notes, so that's kind of cool.
If people want to go back,
that's smart.
You know, if you are not anticipating an excitement, it might mean you are not, you really don't know the Lord well. So then that kind of like, what? And then you haven't really cultivated your intimate relationship with the Lord. I think I have a very intimate relationship with the Lord. I mean, we talk every day. He knows what's going on. I we discuss things every day.
Yeah. And you're excited to go to heaven, you said.
Well,
right?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to heaven. Why?
Well,
no.
Okay,
yeah,
Carol.
No.
I think one thing too that you might be experiencing is that you're experiencing a glimpse of heaven on earth because your relationship with the Lord is
earthly.
Good.
Oh
no, you said your relationship with the Lord is good.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So
yeah.
You feel like your relationship with the Lord is good. So. Like, you're experiencing some of heaven right now.
Right.
Right? And so, for you, it's like, I don't need to wait till heaven to experience the Lord, because I'm experiencing him now.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. But then, it's like, it's kind of like, I guess what Pastor Barry was saying, if you don't anticipate an excitement, I'm not kind of, distant or anything, but... Then I'm thinking, it's like, I don't have that passion that Pastor Barry has. Uh-oh. What are you looking away for?
I don't have that passion that
Pastor Barry, I mean, he's like weeping and stuff. And then I'm like, okay. So then I feel like I'm missing something.
I kind of think that he's not referring to you when he's talking about that. I think he's talking to people that are more like, I don't want to go to heaven because... I can't leave my XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Right? Like,
your comfort on earth.
There's something like, oh, I can't leave my...
Dog?
Job.
I didn't want to go there. We already had that discussion on the
your
podcast.
Your husband? No,
like, I can't leave my devices. I can't leave my sports. I can't leave my... Right? There's certain things that... Because their picture of heaven is not... clear, or they don't have a good understanding of what heaven looks like. So they're like, oh, there's certain things on earth that I can't give up. I can't leave. So they're not excited about heaven because they're afraid that they're going to have to give up all these things to go to heaven. Because in their picture, it's, I'm going to be sitting on a cloud playing my harp all day and I don't want to do that. Right.
Oh.
And so I think that's more where he's talking about, like, if you're not excited about heaven, then you don't have a good picture of what it looks like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that kind of is like, well, oh, okay, that explains a lot.
But for you, you're experiencing a glimpse of heaven now because your relationship with the Lord is good. So you do have an excitement about it, but you're already experiencing some of that now. Right. And so I don't think he's talking specifically to you. I think he's talking to other people that are more on the side of, I can't give this up. I don't want to go to heaven yet because I can't leave this, or I can't give this up.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's exactly where he was going. But I think to your question, Carol, with how you were taking that, but I think we're all wired differently, right? So yeah. Barry's emotional connection is stronger.
Yes.
And so that's different. And like, you're more of a thinker, right? So God's connecting you with your thoughts. That's what it seems like. So then, but I think there's probably ways where he can connect with you more in your emotions. Cause you're like, oh, but Barry is crying. He's this and that. I think there's ways where you can pursue God and be like, God, I want to know, I want to experience you more, not just in my head, but I want to have those emotional connections because that's going to deepen it as well. But it's not going to be probably as deep. I mean, I'm not saying it can't be, but it's because of the way you're wired, it's going to come a certain way. So I'm definitely a thinker, and I tried to stay in that lane almost 100% when I was younger because I didn't want to get to the emotional side. But I've learned that in certain times, that's where the Lord needs to get to that place to have me have the I guess it's the intimacy or the connection that I need that I can't just get with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so I need the balance, but I'd still gravitate towards my thinking side, and that's good. And other people that are emotional, they have that, but they need to have their thoughts renewed as well. Mm-hmm. So I think we can't just say like, well, I'm good where I'm at. My lane is good, but well, can you broaden it a little bit? And God wants to give us more of that depth. So I think in your case, then I think, yeah, there could be more now that you could experience, which could give you more of like a longing, like, oh, I want more of that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, that's good.
And I think too, one of the things that the Lord will continue to do in our sanctification process is he's trying to make us more like Christ. Right. And so mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't only emotion. He wasn't only thinking. He wasn't right. So if we have that bend of I'm more of a thinker, or if we have a bend of more, I'm more emotional, the Lord wants to grow us in some of those other areas so that we can be made more in the image of Christ. Right. And so they're not to say that we're going to be 100, you know, if I'm 100% thinker and 0% emotion and he's going to like flip it, but just to say there are certain areas that he might want us to grow so that we can become more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if we want to stay in our lane of this is how I've always been, then are we actually limiting our growth? Right. And so we just need to be open to the ways that the Lord wants to continue to grow us and things like that. So for you, maybe that's why it's being highlighted to you. Pastor Barry gets so emotional. Maybe the Lord is saying, hey, Carol, I'm trying to grow this in you right now, this emotional connection to me. And I'm highlighting that in Pastor Barry just so that you can recognize this is someone who's stronger in that area. And he's highlighting that so that say like, oh, actually, I kind of want a little bit more of that. I'm used to running in this lane and I kind of want a little bit more of that. And so maybe he's highlighting that so that you can grow and become more like Christ in that way.
That's good. Now I see it. Gee, you can't go to Hawaii anymore because I need you to explain these things
to me. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, well, Kyle keeps pointing at me that the time is running, we're running late on time.
Well, I was just saying, I think we can wrap it up. Closing thoughts.
It's always fun having you guys on the episode. We always have a good time. So I think we need to make this more of a, maybe not a weekly thing, but more a little bit more regular. It's always fun having you guys on.
Trisha. My facial expression.
Tells it all.
I think when Trisha and Carol come on, we need to make this a video podcast.
Yes. So that people could see. Be fun. Yeah. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. That would be real good.
Why don't we do it on stage? Why don't we have actually like on church and then we...
And have an audience too? Live audience?
Yeah, and the audience. Live studio audience. Yeah, and then they could really see and then they could chime in and...
Maybe one of the multi-gens we'll have.
No, ours is like, it's not... G-rated.
Not Sunday morning appropriate. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was.
Okay. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, our series right now for Multigen is called Anyone Can Cook. We could call that episode Anyone Can Cook, Even Carol.
Oh, wow. I'm just, Carol, you know what? Cooks. You know what's in my thoughts right now? What's Damon going to call this episode? What's he going to title this episode? Because we've gone a lot of different directions.
It's not awesome. It's awesomer.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. It's not that awesome. Good.
Everything is awesome.
I think it's awesomerist.
Everything.
You gotta add more superlatives.
When I think of awesome and movies, I think of Kung Fu Panda when he says, there is no charge for awesomeness or attractiveness.
That's funny. I didn't even know that.
Me either.
What?
I don't the Lego movie.
I'll take over since Damon's not. Any close
I'm having too much fun. I don't want this episode to end. That's why, Kyle.
I can tell.
Nope.
Trish, you're good? No closing thoughts?
Let's close it up.
I especially don't want this episode to end because everyone keeps patting me on the back. So this episode just needs to keep going and going and going.
It should be Damon is awesome then. That's the title.
Okay. Yeah, Damon is awesome. But he's not awesomer than God.
Oh, yes.
Well, guess what? He's there is awesome. No charge for awesomeness.
There you go.
Or attractiveness.
Right. Or attractiveness.
So my closing thoughts.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yes. You can ask Pastor Barry about how God laughs with him. Or you can ask Trish about Macron.
Oh,
or
no. You can, I forgot.
Or,
oh,
no. Or you can ask Carol about how she's going to be more emotional. And
I am an emotional
not
wreck.
How she's going to be more, how the you're Lord is trying to grow her emotions so that
emotional
she can be
connection.
More like Christ.
She's
going
to be next to Bob on the floor lamenting.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, I called it.
No.
I called it.
No.
Jesus is going to get you there,
no
girl.
Offense, Bob, but no.
Hey.
Oh,
whenever
Jesus.
Whenever you tell God no, you got to be careful.
No, I am telling
I'll
Trish.
I'll be next to you.
I'm telling Trish.
Look, even Brett's smiling back there. Brett just walked in the room. He's smiling. He heard that and he goes, oh, yeah, you got to be careful.
Well, you know why? Because you haven't experienced it.
What?
Lamenting.
With Bob?
Nope.
Just
with the Lord. Not with Bob. It's amazing.
Okay.
It really is a cleansing thing.
Yes.
All right.
Carol, any closing thoughts from you?
That's it. I'm.
You're tapped out now.
Yeah, I'm tapped out. I need more.
Dave, coffee. It's gonna be a quiet ride home. She's tapped out.
Oh no, we got. Right.
He said. That's
round
negative.
Two.
We gotta go off. Poor Mark and Dave.
Yes, that is.
Mark Damon, we gotta end this.
Mark gets that often. Poor Mark.
Poor Mark.
All right. Well.
Dave gets it too.
Yeah. I believe
thanks again, Carol and Trish, for coming
you're
on
welcome.
And
welcome.
Being guests. We are looking forward to having you guys back on again and
you
having
could,
another
you
fun
could probably
episode.
Always just mute theirs and they can have a little side conversation while we close up the
sidebar. We need a sidebar. Okay. Yeah.
And thanks to everyone out there for listening. We appreciate you. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.
Yeah, and put some comments in there. Oh, so I want to
I'm going to mute
wait,
you
wait,
now,
wait,
Carol.
Wait,
that's still on. It's still on the recording.
We need a line.